I have one question for you. Are you ready to do your fertility journey differently? Hey there, I'm Bella Hilton, and this is the Studio Fertility Podcast, where each week I bring you real, actionable tips and strategies to help you get your mind from chaos to calm and your body from resistant to receiving. So if you want to feel better now and improve your fertility, let's do this. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Studio Fertility Podcast. I'm your host, Bella Hilton, and I'm really excited about the podcast today because I think more than a little passion will come out in what I have to say. I don't know if it will be long or short, but here we go. Strap yourselves in, because I get asked questions all the time about how do you remain hopeful on a fertility journey? How do you get past and heal from miscarriages? How do you deal with the emotional roller coaster of failed IVF cycles and things going wrong? How do you keep going when everything is going wrong? How do you deal with a family pregnancy when no one knows your struggle? How do you deal with anything? How do you deal with the 10 years that have gone by? How do you handle all the uncertainty that comes your way? Because people are hurting. Men and women on the fertility treadmill are hurting. But if I go back through each of these things that I just said, miscarriages, failed cycles, bad results, bad diagnoses, others' pregnancy announcements, years going by, and all the things, it's not the actual thing that causes us pain, it's what we make it mean. Bear with me while I explain that. For example, if someone is told they can't have children, but also didn't want children, do you think the news is in any way devastating to them? If someone hears about another's pregnancy announcement, but also gets pregnant easily, or maybe isn't trying for a child yet, do you think they greet it with tears and misery? They don't. Basically, I get asked all the time about how people can better manage their emotions and quickly. And I think people are looking for that simple tool, and they want me to say something practical and simple and easy to implement, such as, you know, mantras or gratitude journals or hypnosis, which I use a lot, very effectively, by the way. So none of these tools are negative. Meditate every day or yoga, right? But quite honestly, some of these things can just be band-aids or plasters, depending on what country you're from. But if we don't deal with the things that will bring the biggest turnaround to your whole life, right? We don't need more things, more tools. We need to look at your thoughts. That inner monologue that goes on and on and on and on all day in your brain. And so you might be thinking, I might say that you need to learn to manage this internal dialogue. And that is going to give you the biggest shift in your life. But I want to go back one step further. I think also learning a few tips and tricks about how to manage your mindset better can be shifting. But by far and away, the most powerful thing you can do to help yourself is understand the why. Then you're able to have the creativity to do the change. But if you don't understand the why, then you don't have the creativity to change the way that you are thinking and to manage that mindset. If you understand your thoughts, if you understand how you formed them, why you formed them, what makes those, you know, what makes you think those thoughts, what you make them mean and why, then you naturally manage your emotions, you naturally manage your decisions, you naturally manage a whole range of things. If you don't understand the basics about why you think the way that you do, then it's harder to get anywhere. It doesn't make all problems go away, of course. It doesn't mean you'll never feel devastated or sad or grief, but it will allow you to understand why you feel that way and helps you through the emotions so you don't hold on to them, so you can process them, so you can get through the trauma. Yeah, so while people are out there teaching people how to meditate or giving them exercises to do, which of course I also do, and I have amazing hypnosis tracks and visualizations and powerful exercises, right? All of these things are important because structure can be very good for us. I'm also teaching people how and why to understand themselves so they have the fundamental ability to think differently for themselves, right? Without the need for an exercise or a hypnosis or anything like that. You don't get through grief thinking the same way you went into it. You don't start to manage difficult scenarios and find peace through fertility by thinking the same way you started. And it's not about always being positive. That is the worst thing in the world, to always be positive. It's not normal, right? It's not normal or natural. It's understanding why you are sad so you can allow yourself to feel that way or change it depending on what the situation demands. When you understand that, you level up basically in your emotions and your mindset. It's understanding why you're struggling to deal with others' announcements so that you can separate yourself out from their experience, right? Separate out your own experience and stop the comparison death trap. It's not a magic trick, but when you use it, it can feel like one because it can shift everything and anything. Now, I do give people powerful hypnosis tracks and powerful exercises to do that, quite frankly, can be really simple. But if I only gave those to my clients, then they wouldn't be empowered to think for themselves, right? They would do my course and they'd still be left wondering. They'd still be left floundering when some other situation came along that wasn't neatly packaged into my course. Do you know what I mean? They wouldn't be empowered longer term to be able to deal with the struggles that they face that I can't, think of to put into my program. They wouldn't have the flexibility that understanding the why gives you. Thoughts dominate everything. How you feel about yourself, how you show up in the world, your energy and your vibe, your emotions, your outcomes, how you handle situations, your decision making. It all starts with the way you process information through your brain, and it can be influenced by your diet, body chemistry, sleep, resources that you have, your menstrual cycle. So, well, that goes back into body chemistry, right? Your hormones. And you can think whatever you want, but it's not so always so easy to do that. I heard recently about an experiment this girl did where for a whole year, she decided to let others reject her. She wasn't going to pre-reject herself, for example. That means she would go for jobs she didn't think she was qualified for, invite herself places that she wouldn't previously, that type of thing. Now, if the interviewer said, hey, you aren't qualified, etc., fair enough. They rejected her, but she didn't reject herself out of the process first. The result being that she ended up with a much better job, better pay, better friends, etc., right? She totally changed her life because she was thinking differently. Now, rejection isn't an easy thing. Rejection is one of the most painful things in life. It can hurt. And in fact, on the fertility journey, we're often feeling rejected by motherhood, by normality, of fitting into the norms, of being rejected by our friendship group because they're all having babies easily, even though they're not rejecting us, right? So rejected in a sense by our friends because they easily have babies. And then they have less time for us because all they want to talk about are their babies and sleep schedules and baby poop, right? And we want to talk about something else. But then when all these micro rejections happen, we start to try to protect ourselves from that pain. And so we pre-reject ourselves. Maybe I'm just not meant to be a mother. Maybe I did something wrong and I'm being punished. Maybe I did something wrong in a previous life. Maybe I just don't deserve it. Maybe I'm a bad parent to my first child, so therefore I'm being punished for not having a second. Maybe I can't handle having a baby and I'm being spared from something I'll be no good at anyway. Maybe I'm too selfish. Maybe my husband will leave me because I'm useless. I hate my body because it's not doing the one thing it's supposed to do as a woman. Maybe I'll isolate myself from my friends and family because they don't get it anyway, and I'm just being a lot and too sensitive. Maybe they're right. Maybe I just need to relax. I forgot my supplements today. Maybe I just don't want this enough. Otherwise, I wouldn't forget. The doctor is telling me I should follow what they say, but it doesn't feel right to me. But what would I know? They're the experts, and this probably isn't going to work anyway. I mean, I could go on. Honestly, I've heard all of these. I've probably thought a lot of these before. We start to see the world as rejecting us, and so we start to pre-reject ourselves as lowly, unworthy, and useless. See, none of those thought patterns are particularly helpful or healthy on a difficult fertility journey. And a person who is in this state will make poorer decisions for themselves about their fertility based on fear and trauma. They won't advocate for themselves very well. They will feel every medical procedure is like they are a victim, and they will generally feel broken. And if they do get pregnant, they'll spend their pregnancy fearful and in full anxiety that something will go wrong. They will then parent like that, and so on. We need to learn to manage our thoughts and understand them, and we need to learn to understand ourselves more deeply on a human level so we're able to give ourselves the support and compassion that we need to get through something so difficult and so personal. And trust me, when you do this, it actually shortens the amount of time you get to the positive outcome, because we're thinking more clearly, we're making better decisions. We need to learn about how we form thoughts so we understand why we're saying to ourselves we are not worthy, so we have a chance to change this narrative in our brain. Because quite often the narrative in our brain lives in the future, creating scenarios that haven't happened yet that then determine our self-worth in the present, right? Something hasn't happened yet in the future that determines who I am now. That just doesn't even make sense, and yet we all do it. I'm never going to have a baby, therefore I'm useless, and I should let my husband go so he can have the family he deserves. Wow, we pre-reject ourselves with our thoughts. We say this because, you know, this thing will never happen in the future. I'm not worthy now. None of these things are true. And until you learn why, you're never going to be able to truly challenge the narrative in your head and give yourself the freedom to really know your self-worth. When you truly understand how you tick, you become more human than ever, because you allow yourself to be human, just like you let everybody around you be human, just not yourself, right? You stop with the narrative of I'm just too sensitive or whatever it is, and you start to accept yourself and say, this is hurting me. And it's only then that you have the ability to turn it all around, stop the emotions, the thinking. So you can start to see the difficult pathway in front of you and how to get through it. I hope you have really gotten something out of today, and I'll see you next time on the podcast. Hey, thanks for listening to the Studio Fertility Podcast. If you know you could benefit from working with me, head to my website at studiofertility.com, where you'll find some freebies, information on my transformational one-to-one coaching and group coaching programs, and lots of great testimonials. And if you love the podcast, I'd love to know through a 5-star review. And that's it.